Would you like to see how Robert and I both approach a chart differently? We have readings scheduled Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday where you can do just that from the gallery. Kind of like speed dating for chart reading. Well, not really. But if you'd like to peek in with us, registration is at the top of funastrology.com. Welcome. It's Tuesday, April 2nd. You already knew that. You didn't have to come by here to learn that one. We are going to learn today, though, from Stephanie Vickers, our good friend who came along and did some episodes with me on Saturdays a little while ago on medical astrology. Well, she's back, and we're going to get caught up with her on what's been going on in her world, and she's been studying the Saros cycles. Bernadette Brady's work on the 18-year nodal cycles of these eclipses. This interview with Stephanie goes a little bit longer than normal, but I think the information is well worth it, and it's great to have her back. So here we go. Stephanie, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Thomas. I'm so happy and grateful to be back with you.
Well, catch us up. Tell us what's been going on in your world.
Yeah, so much has happened in the past couple years since we've recorded together. I moved from the West Coast of the United States to the East Coast of the United States, pretty much on my own with my husband and some family friends and a big Penske moving truck, driving 2,300 something miles, similar to what you did in your van, just going the other way. So that was quite a challenge. And then we moved here in Northern Georgia, which I'm really loving so far. But this house that we got unbeknownst to us has had a lot more work needed to be done to it than just cosmetic things. So I've been renovating this house pretty much inside and out, including renovating my interior. So that's been good. Going more deep into my astrological studies and learning. And I've been really grateful for that.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, and we are in that time of year with not only Mercury going retrograde, but also we're in between the eclipses now. And that's what I wanted to talk to you about, because I understood in our conversation the other day that you've been looking into the Saros cycles, which is something that I have about a 1 on a scale of 1 to 10 knowledge about. So I wanted to hear what you've learned.
Yes, thank you. This actually came into my awareness not that long ago, being fully transparent. It was probably about a month ago when I was listening to a YouTube astrologer from Europe. I listened to a lot of different ones because, being a Gemini rising, I want to hear it all. I want to take it all in from all different perspectives.
Amen, sister. And
yes, yes, we need to hear it all. And then when something connects and a light bulb goes off, I have to dive deeper. So when I heard about the Saros cycles, it just fascinated me and it made so much sense. And then putting to good use that natal Saturn in Scorpio, I went and did a real investigative dive on this material. And the best resource that I found so far that I really want to encourage our listeners, if they feel called to look more into this after hearing this today, is a book by Bernadette Brady. And it was originally called The Eagle and the Lark. It's now been renamed Predictive Astrology, which I'm not super excited about that change, because I do think for a lot of people that predictive term can have a negative connotation. But I just hope people can kind of just push that to the side and just kind of hear this material, because it's another tool that I find very, very helpful, especially for us to understand these eclipse cycles. They are cycles. So as we know, you know, each eclipse has two seasons. It has the north node season and it has the south node season. And they have their family of characteristics. So these Saros cycles basically were discovered and created, like the term created and all of that, from the ancient Babylonians. It's amazing how they could figure this all out back then without any of the modern technology. And then the Greeks took it over and went even further into it. And it became officially known as Saros cycles in the 10th century AD. And Saros means repetition in Greek, or to be repeated. So you can glean these patterns from these cycles. And basically, each cycle has a certain flavor. It has a certain theme. And I think it's incredibly useful to look at each cycle and what are the themes that could be coming up. Because we know with our astrology and our information that we know so far, we understand we have the eclipses occur on a polarity. You know, right now it's an Aries Libra, and then they occur in the houses in our chart and then collectively. But it goes beyond that, because just because it's happening in Aries and Libra and certain parts of your chart, that eclipse will feel different to another one happening in that same part of your chart. And we know every 18 years we have a nodal return. So these are all cycles, but they're all belonging to a different family. And this is where the Saros cycles come into play. They talk about how each family has certain characteristics and just kind of the certain things that might come up during that time in that eclipse season. So each Saros cycle is very long. They're over 1,000 years. It's pretty amazing. We're not going to get into the weeds of how all that's calculated, but just know that these run for a long time. There's about 71 to 73 events or solar eclipses in each cycle. So they are very, very long. And I just hope that people can kind of take this concept from Bernadette Brady's book about the Saros series are like trees in a forest. And on each tree, there's particular leaves. And so each individual leaf is from an individual eclipse. And you can see the different stages of development. So it's very helpful to put it in that perspective to understand them a bit more. And the characteristics that are described in the themes for each Saros series are depicted by its birth chart. It's amazing. So each of these have birth charts, which is really fascinating. We're not going to get into all that because, again, it's incredibly technical and you can get lost in the weeds there. But just on a higher level overview, this can be very, very useful for you personally. I encourage you, whether it's through her book, I do find this the easiest to sort through, or some other, you know, astrological or astronomical reference. So you can look at when you were born in your natal chart, what, you know, what cycle was going on for you at that time. And you can actually look in the appendix of her book to read the description of that cycle. And then 18 years later, you can see what was that cycle of Saros series. And what were the themes there? Because even though that eclipse, you know, is your nodal return that happened 18 years later, like I mentioned earlier, it's happening in the same polarity in the same houses, it's going to have a different flavor. And if you are someone that's been around the block a few times and you've had a couple nodal returns, this is even more useful because you can just kind of see like, well, what was going on? Did that play out in my life? And okay, I've got another nodal return happening in, you know, a couple, few more years or whatever. You can kind of say, well, maybe these might be coming up. Or if you can find a resource like this book, you can see, okay, that eclipse is going to have a different flavor than the one I experienced in my last nodal return. So very, very useful. And then to take this broader, we can look at it collectively. So we're all moving through these cycles in the whole planet. And currently with these eclipses that we have in Aries and Libra, we are in the series 8. Right now, the one that's going to be happening not that far from now in April, on April 8th, the Aries total solar eclipse is part of the 8 series north. So north because it originates from the north node. The one that's coming up in October is series 8, but south because it's originating from that south node. And if people like this and they want to learn more, maybe we can come back later in the year and talk a bit more about that one in October. For people to be aware of. But I just wanted to speak a bit from Bernadette Brady's book on what this 8 North cycle is all about that's coming up for us here on April 8th. So she goes on to say that this will be a very inventive and intuitive, a lot of flashes of genius that are the hallmarks in this Saros series. It can have vivid dreams or visions. It can inspire people so much to the point where it can pull a person away from his or her social life or relationship, which could cause strain in a private life. It's a time when a person needs to be free, if only for a few weeks. It has a strong signature with Uranus, Pluto, and Mars. So just thinking about that kind of tension, that push and pull, that this could bring some really profound, intuitive awareness to all of us, but it could cause us to go a little bit more in our heads and maybe not so much in the reality of our day-to-day with our relationships and that private life. So just to kind of keep that in mind, that that could have a bit of a flavor with this eclipse. But I really hope that this is helpful for people to be aware of. And if they are so called to learn more and are fascinated by it like I am, to pick up a book like this one, you know, to go more into it.
I would love that. Maybe we could make that a between now and October kind of project. Did you see anything? I mean, we can look at the chart and we can certainly determine several things, as we've been doing, why people would be feeling this stress and this strain. Did you see anything that she described specific to Series 8 that might lend at least some further fuel on this fire of why we might all collectively be feeling so strained right now?
Yes, and I think this also ties into the previous eclipses. I know we had the start to this, in October of last year with the Libra. And so I do believe that that plays as well, even though that was a part of a different series, but it's still unfolding. And that one that happened back last year was part of 7 South. So a lot of Mars and Pluto channeling into that one. And she described it as huge obstacles, potential crises that suddenly manifest and move through very rapidly. And individuals will feel that everything is moving at great speed, but they can also easily clear. So I do think that signature of tension, it was very strong in that one. And then we see it again with this one as well. This one being more of, you know, this inner need to have these insights and this pull into more of this deeper introspection. And then the outside world kind of pulling you out of that and not really, like the person not really wanting to be pulled out of that. So there's kind of that push and pull between the private and the outer life. And then the one that's coming up in October is a lot about separation and loss. So separation, discord, divide, a lot of that. So I think we're feeling that too, even though that's not come fully into play yet. And then looking at your natal chart with what was the cycle that was passing through for you that the time that you came into this existence, because there could be a theme and a flavor there that is something that will stick through and work with you for this lifetime. And that can be incredibly empowering. Like you said, it was just this light bulb that went off and you know it's there and you know how to work with it and you feel more empowered. It's a wonderful tool to go deeper.
So my initial thought was, well, these eclipses, they're just souped up new moons and full moons. But boy, this adds a whole nother beautiful dimension into the tapestry of all of astrology, of all of these patterns and all of these cycles and how it all fits together so magically beautiful. It really is amazing.
It honestly is amazing. It's awe-inspiring. And I just feel very blessed that we have the gift of astrology and incredible astrologers that help shine the light and for us to understand ourselves better and the world going on around us, because boy, do we need it at this time more than ever.
It's going to be our guide through this, and I think we know that. Steph, thank you so much. This has been great. And yeah, let's keep this going into the next season in the fall.
Thank you, Thomas. I would love that. And I hope the listeners find this really helpful and we can keep going and deep diving.
And glad to have you back.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be back. And I hope we can do this more regularly. I'm trying to come out of the seclusion 12th house stuff, you know, that's been taking me away for a little bit, and channel that more into the first house now.
Sometimes we have to go deeper before we can go broader.
That's right.
Thanks, Steph.
Thank you, Thomas.